gentle ballroom queen in Memphis. She tried to take me upstairs for a ride. She had to heave me right across her shoulder, 'cause I just can't seem to
On July 3rd, 1969, the Rolling Stones were reeling. Their founder, Brian Jones, had drowned in his swimming pool the night before. Jones had been fired by the band 3 weeks earlier, but his presence in the band could still be felt, and despite their estrangement, he was still very close to each member of that band. His removal from the band was a necessary thing, but not something that Mick Jagger or Keith Richards wanted to do or were excited about. Jones had been an invaluable multi-instrumentalist who had been the original creative force in the band, and his passion had informed many of their biggest early hits. Without Brian Jones, the Rolling Stones would be a very different band. Nobody could have predicted what was to come. Brian Jones was replaced by virtuoso guitarist Mick Taylor, elevating the overall musicianship of the band to an all-time high. Jagger and Richards found a creative groove that was deep and rich, and the two of them mined it for everything they could find. From 1968, the year Jones' drug problems effectively rendered him useless to the music the band was making, through 1975, the Rolling Stones made what many people believe was the best music in their storied career. In short order, the band released Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, and Exile on Main Street. Not just the band's four best albums, but four of the best albums of all time. No other band, not Led Zeppelin, not Pink Floyd, not Bob Dylan, not Elvis Presley, not even the Stones' contemporaries and catalytic muses, the Beatles, no other band has gone on a sustained run like the Stones had in that time. Never mind that drugs and a truly hedonistic lifestyle had taken hold of many members of the band, and they were beset by business issues forcing them into tax exile. Never mind that in the middle of this era, they were host to one of the greatest tragedies in rock and roll history. By the time Mick Taylor left the band, the Rolling Stones had actually lived up to and maybe even exceeded the arrogant, swaggering moniker they had bestowed upon themselves. They had become the world's greatest rock and roll band. Tonight, on the anniversary of the release of a classic single from that era, we are going to revel in the astonishing work the band produced just when, by all rights, the band could have and probably should have collapsed. Tonight, we celebrate the Stones at their creative peak. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is The Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080, FM 95.1, KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of The Weekly List.
You are almost sounding like Kirk there. Thank you for joining us here on The Weekly List.
You know, some have referred to me as James T from time to time.
That's true. Yeah. That's, well, yeah, you know, so. Yeah. Hi, Rich.
Rolling Stones, Dan.
I love the Stones, man.
So do I. So
I mean, this is
I hope, actually, we're going to disagree on a whole lot.
Yeah, we are.
But the funny thing about that is that you and I both love the Stones equally.
I know, that's right. Like,
they're one of our favorite. And we even, like, come down on the Stones the same way. Like, my thing with the Stones is that they don't need Mick Jagger. They're a better band for having Mick Jagger in the band, but they don't have to have Mick Jagger to be the Rolling Stones.
And I totally agree with that.
Keith Richards,
yes,
is the Rolling Stones.
In my mind, and you gotta have Charlie Watts.
Which is why I'm not going to go out of my way to go see them on this tour, because Charlie Watts is having to sit this tour out.
Yeah.
And Charlie Watts, by the way, is also 80 years old.
Yeah. I mean, you and I saw the Stones. We didn't see them truly in their prime. We saw them on the Steel Wheels tour in 89.
Yes.
But, you know, the time before would have been on the Tattoo U 81 tour.
Yep.
81 was probably about...
Well, and, you know, I don't want to start off by ripping the Stones, but they have made a great album in 40 years.
Of course, I'm naturally going to disagree a little bit.
Of course you are. But I'm just going to...
Because I really like Blue and Lonesome.
And it's a good album, but it's a throwaway. It's them getting together to play a bunch of blues songs. It's not what I would consider a legitimate, actual, like, album.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Honky Tonk Blue Women to start. Now, this song actually was not on an album. And,
no, it wasn't.
You know,
it was
one of the first songs that Mick Taylor ever played.
As a matter of fact, it was.
Yeah, so great way to start the show. I mean, if you really want to get down to that's such a great groove. And
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. And I always really liked that song. But I don't know, somewhere 20 years ago, it's like somebody just sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, listen to this song because this song is amazing.
Yeah.
And to the point where I used to play in a band called Prairie Dog Fight Club, and I insisted that we do this song just for that exact reason. I just love this song.
Well, I mean, it's proper use of a cowbell.
Indeed.
I mean,
indeed, some of the very few
More cowbell.
No.
I know it's not that, but
you got your cowbell, you got your Don't Fear the Reaper, you got your Honky Tonk Women. And American Band by Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah. And then Steve Perry did it pretty well on Journey's captured album on a couple things.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to move on. Okay, this is all about the Stones. And, of course, we're talking about that pivotal period with Mick Taylor.
Yeah. Now, see, we should set this up a little bit. Almost 2 years ago, like in January of 2020, I did a show that was really built around the... The Stones' early era, and really what that turned out to be was like the Brian Jones show,
right.
So this isn't quite the Mick Taylor show, but it's sort of close. There's some overlap. These two eras for me overlap a little bit because Brian Jones technically, well, he was in the band during the making of Beggar's Banquet, but he only makes his only legitimate contribution. On that album is the slide guitar he plays on No Expectations, which Mick Jagger to this day says is one of the most beautiful things that Brian Jones ever played. And so they were recording the song and Brian Jones showed up on one of the rare days when he actually was showing up to the studio, And he sat down on the floor and pulled out a slide and played that slide on No Expectations, packed up his guitar, walked out of the studio, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to leave, go out on a high note. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to keep this positive.
Okay.
You know.
Anyway, my point is this. There is a little bit of overlap between these two shows in this and this era. But to me, it really is those four albums. And then, you know, Mick Taylor was on two more albums after that.
Right.
He was on Goat's Head Soup, which we're going to hear.
I love that record.
And he was on It's Only Rock and Roll, and then he quit the band. But that's it. To me, that's the Stones at their creative peak right there.
Mm-hmm. So that was Honky Tonk Women to start. And the next song we're doing is from the aforementioned Goat's Head Soup. This was an album that, you know, our buddy Otis mm-hmm. And I played this a lot.
That's great.
In college.
That's great.
He picked up a vinyl copy of it. And I mean, we played A and B over and over and over and over. And this was when we really fixated on Keith Richards.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you on this album?
Exactly. Goat's Head Soup is a dirty, gritty album.
Oh, yeah.
This song that we're going to play actually
is the sweetest one.
Well, it's Angie. Today, Thursday, August 19th, is the anniversary of the release of Angie as a single.
Really?
Yeah. August 19th, 1975.
73.
Wow. Okay, so anyway, somewhere in there. I love Angie. I think Angie's a wonderful song. I have never really liked this recording. Mm. I hate the way Mick Jagger sings the song.
See, on this, you and I are going to totally be lockstep agreement. Yeah, it's always been a...
He oversings this song completely.
Yeah, it's a good song, though. It's a good composition.
He puts too much drama. I swear to God, every time he sings the word Angie, he just puts way, you know,
yeah.
And then he whispers Angie at one point. But the song is beautiful.
Angie.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, there's the story about what the song is actually about. There's the old urban legend that Mick Jagger and David Bowie got super friendly one mm-hmm. night together. Bowie's wife, Angela, came home and discovered them. And flagrante. And
wait, I thought no French. I thought we had a no French rule.
That was Spanish and Italian.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
So this is what I know.
That wasn't. I don't. I'm just going to assume it wasn't French.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's show.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what the song is about, but I do know that Mick got the name Angie from Angela Bowie.
Okay. Well, then, from Goat's Head Soup, 1973, here are the Rolling Stones with Angie on KYMN Radio, 95.1, The One.
Oh, sitting back in your rose pink Cadillac, making bets on Kentucky Derby.
From 1971, my personal favorite Rolling Stones album, that was Dead Flowers off of Sticky Fingers.
Yeah. I'll be sure to put roses on your grave.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. And you can send me Dead Flowers.
Well, you send me Dead Flowers all the time, it seems like.
I do?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love the song. That's really a fun song. I mean, it's kind of got that rollicking thing that the Stones do so well.
It is... also indicative, and we're going to talk about this relationship a little bit later in the show, but it's also, you know that I'm an enormous Graham Parsons fan.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I do know that.
And I Graham Parsons and Keith Richards got to be really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And Sticky Fingers is just that shows Graham's influence rubbing off on this band. I love that. I love that.
Oddly enough.
And the Stones could have been an amazing country band if they...
They really could. I mean, even
Honky Tonk Women was actually written as a country song.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm a big fan of the song Faraway Eyes off of some...
Yeah,
some
I am too, although that's a little bit...
It's
a little bit of
it's not so much... let's say it's not as appropriate in 2021.
Yeah, no, it's not. But that song's a farce. You
know? It is. Yeah. It is a farce, but I just love it.
I know.
Okay, so anyhow, now we're talking about a completely different era.
That's a different era that we're not going to get into tonight.
Yeah, so Sticky Fingers, tell me something about what this album means to you. Because you said that it's your favorite Stones album,
because,
so I want to hear
because
why.
To me, it's within the peak of those four albums. It's the one that might be the Stones at their very best in that... by the time they get to Exile on Main Street, right? Like, there's so much heroin and so much going on.
Yeah.
Like that album is beautiful and muddy and
disastrous.
Dirty.
It's beautiful disaster.
It's the messiest thing you've ever heard, and it's just glorious in its messiness. Sticky Fingers is not. Sticky Fingers is that band that is just, you know, riding this crest, but they're not in a fog. And so you've got Brown Sugar, you've got Wild Horses, you've got, we're going to play a little bit later, we're going to play Can't You Hear Me Knocking, which is a very interesting song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you've got, you know, Sway and Midnight or A Moonlight Mile. It's just, what a great album.
Rich
bitch.
And,
bitch. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Bitch. Rich and I were talking about this over dinner, and we were talking about how the difference of music when we were kids, because for me, I was not as familiar with Let It Bleed or Sticky Fingers, because back when I was a kid, you actually had to own the album,
yeah.
You know, unlike today where you can just stream everything. And so of a lot of these albums in the period, I had Exile.
Yeah.
So of course, Exile on Main Street is my favorite. And so all the stuff that you talk about it's sloppy and it's muddy and it's a sludge.
Yeah.
I listen to it and I hear perfect beauty in the chaos.
I do not disagree with you. But I hear everything else.
Right. Yeah.
I know that Exile is your favorite Stones album by far. And actually, when we decided to do this show, I just figured
you said you just pick all the.
I just figured you were going to pick six Exile songs. So I like when I picked my songs, I went out of my way to not pick a song from Exile on Main Street.
Well, and speaking of which,
yeah.
The next song we're going to play is the lead off track
right.
from Exile on Main Street, and. If you ever want to have a great way to kick off an album, especially a double album mm-hmm. like Exile, this song is called Rocks Off. Man, this does it in spades. Everything about this song is perfect. It's got attitude. It's got power. It's got force. It's got this swagger that is undeniable. And, of course, Mick Jagger delivers one hell of a vocal performance. But the whole band really drives behind it, too.
Well, what's interesting to me about Exile on Main Street is the way, throughout the whole album, the way the vocals are mixed. They are down in mix. I mean, when I say down in the mix, generally you put lead vocals louder than everything else.
Right.
But in this one, I mean, you can hear it. But it's you gotta listen a little bit more, and it's it creates a sound that's really
it does.
Kind of
it's
cool.
Exile is probably one of the most unique sounding albums you'll ever find. It was recorded essentially in the basement of a mansion in the south of France during a incredibly hot summer.
Yes,
and the Rolling Stones, because of the tax rates that were imposed in Britain at the time, something like 90-95%.
It was high. It was something like that.
I mean, it was enormous. And the Stones, as an organization, they had to literally leave the United Kingdom for a period of time. So they were truly exiled.
It was at least 6 months.
Yeah. And it was, at the same time, the exile, that covers that part. The Main Street part of this is they were at the top of their peak in Britain. So imagine that they could go to any spot in the entire United Kingdom, play a show to 150,000 and it would sell out. But they couldn't.
Right.
They could not do that. Right. So what they did, they hatched this plan. We're going to go to the south of France. We're going to become tax exiles.
Yep.
And we're going to record this album. And then it got really hot. The way that it was going on, they created something that it sounds so unique. They couldn't fix the mix because of the way that it was recorded. Yep. I mean, it was... so much of this album was recorded live.
I think Glyn Johns was the engineer on this.
Yeah.
And he's the guy, or he, maybe it was the... Who the hell produced this album?
Ooh.
Did Mick and Keith produce it?
I think that they might have, because this was like a wake up in the morning, have some sausage, and then go stumble downstairs.
Well, by wake up in the morning, you mean like 7:30 at night.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Have some sausage, and then work all night long, and then go to sleep at
Keith,
like, you know,
Keith Richards said that when he was on heroin... during that period, there were only two things that he learned to do. One was he learned to ski, which is interesting, and he made Exile on Main Street.
I stole my line. I was going to use that line later.
I'm sorry. But, well, you know, hey, Exile's my album, dude.
Yeah,
so,
man. Yeah,
it's true. But anyhow, this is the way that you kick off an album.
Yeah.
And you set an attitude and you set a tone. This is Rocks Off from Exile on Main Street. And it doesn't get any better than this, folks. Here
from 1972, this is... Stones
on KYMN radio 95.1. Wow,
I just totally stepped in your touchdown call, didn't I? Go try it again. I'm sorry, I apologize. Reintroduce the song, Danny.
Hey, this is Rocks Off by the magnificent Rolling Stones off of their quintessential album, Exile on Main Street, here on 95.1 KYMN, The One.
1969, Let It Bleed. That was the opening track. That song is called Gimme Shelter. That song, I like Charlie, just if we only talk about Charlie Watts in that song, I could go on for half an hour. I just love the way he plays the drums. But the person we have to talk about on that song is Mary Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Clayton, have you ever seen them? You should see the movie 20 Feet from Stardom. You've never
watched it? No, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't gotten
it.
I need to watch that. Studio guy, session guy,
yeah,
lover.
You really have to watch that.
I do.
Mary Clayton was sound asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Clayton was an in-demand studio backup singer, right? Sound asleep, pregnant, curlers in her hair, gets a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, the Rolling Stones are recording and they want you to come down and sing a little bit. She rolls out of bed, throws a scarf around her head, and gets in a cab in her pajamas and goes down to the studio, walks in, looks at the lyrics and says, rape? Murder? You got me out of bed for this? And then delivers one of the greatest vocal moments, like not just in on a Stones record, but in like an all recording, like just incredible.
Yeah, it's and you, yeah.
I years and years and years ago, my first serving gig, I was working with a woman who told me that she, without question, absolutely knew that God existed. And it was because of Mary Clayton's voice on "Gimme Shelter."
Really,
that was the proof she needed the of God.
Well, and this was one of my picks. Gimme Shelter is my all-time favorite Rolling Stone song. That song is perfect in every single way. I remember years ago it was a tour that Keith Richards had promoting his second album,
okay,
which was, I can't remember.
Repeat Offender. No.
Repeat Offender.
Was it Repeat Offender? Was that?
No, Repeat Offender.
No, or was that Richard
Marx? Richard Marx.
But was it Second Offense, something like that.
Anyhow, his second record, which wasn't as good as Talk Is Cheap, but I saw him play Roy Wilkins.
Yeah.
And Soul Asylum, on their Grave Dancers Union, gave up an opportunity to open for Bon Jovi in order to open for Keith Richards.
That's way cooler.
That gave Soul Asylum a lot of cred.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyhow, Keith does a version solo, mm-hmm, of Gimme Shelter, and it is spine tingling as well.
Yeah.
And
I've heard the recordings.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you know, Keith's band, The Expensive Winos.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Waddy
and
Steve
Ivan
Jordan.
Neville and Steve Jordan. Who's the bass player? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but we're not going to go into it now.
You had Sarah Dash on vocals. But yeah, so Gimme Shelter, that has that darkness that underlies a lot of the Stones. Yep. There's very few bands that know how to do that shade of darkness.
Right.
The Rolling Stones were masters of it, and so were the Doors.
Yeah.
The Doors, and that's another favorite band. And I've always liked when music, especially in this era, went into some of the darker shades that you, mm-hmm, hear at night. And it's disturbing stuff. It is. If you're really listening to it, it sounds disturbing. It sounds troubled.
It's supposed to be a scary song.
And the times that they were created were scary and troubling, times now, too.
Listen to the way they recorded Jagger's vocals, and there's a lot of reverb and, mm-hmm, a lot of echo in the verses. I mean, that's supposed to be foreboding, and it's supposed to be powerful.
It should scare the living hell out of you, does. And listen to that in a dark room at 3 o'clock in the morning by yourself on a pair of headphones. I've done it.
It
will mess you up.
Sit in a studio, play that song as loud as you possibly can, and watch the moon rise over the library.
There you go. Oh, and sing it while wearing curlers and a scarf around your head, too.
And it's a scary song, and the sort of sad little
aside
caveat to or not not even the when there's a little thing after the end.
Coda?
With a little sad little coda. Mary Clayton had a miscarriage the next day.
Oh, yeah. Really? She did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway. So you know, you talk about the Stones, you talk about some
dark there's stuff, darkness. You know? Yeah, there's okay. darkness involved. I mean, right. there, study the history. There's a lot of darkness involved.
So now we jump back to Sticky Fingers for a minute. Mm-hmm. This is and it's only about six bars or so, maybe a little bit longer. This is Mick Taylor, in my mind, this is Mick Taylor's finest moment as a Rolling Stone.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for the fact that they couldn't figure out how to end this song, this would be the song in my mind would be a throwaway. This song is
sure.
It would not be very good, but there's this, they can't figure out how to end it. So they just sort of jam on it for a while. They were recording it in the studio and they were like, okay, well let's play this thing. And then we'll just kind of jam out and see what happens, and maybe we'll find a way to end it in the jam. And it was so good, they just kept the jam, and it went from a 3-minute song to a 7-minute song.
And a lot of music is created like that in the studios. I mean, a lot.
Right, and that jam is amazing. It's basically Bobby Keys and Mick Taylor.
Yeah.
Bobby Keys, who was the unofficial like ninth Rolling Stone,
yeah.
Who was a sax player and arranged all the horns.
Yeah.
For the
and
band.
He died. It was just a couple of years ago.
Not
wasn't
that
it?
Long ago.
It was not that long ago. I remember going, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was a mainstay in that organization.
He maybe it's him and Keith had the same birthday too, like born on the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. So from 1971, Sticky Fingers, this is Mick Taylor and the Rolling Stones with Can't You Hear Me Knocking? A 95.1 KYMN. The Kids.
Yeah.
myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year, stole many a man's soul and faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Me damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Time for change.
from 1968. That was the opening track of Beggar's Banquet. That name of that song was Sympathy for the Devil, Danny.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I think that song, what was it? There was all the rumors when I was a kid, you know, hey, that was the recording of a satanic voodoo ritual that was being done, and the song is cursed and all this kind of stuff. There's backwards messaging all over.
It's just a bunch of guys in the corner going, woo, woo.
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And that is a classic song. That is really, I mean.
I love that song.
That's a great song. That's a groove, too.
Absolutely.
And it's just pumping with all of the rhythmic.
One of my all-time favorite songs reminds me of some of my favorite people. Some of my favorite people most recently. And actually, it reminds me of my freshman year roommate, Mr. Christopher James.
Ah.
Bag from
college. Woo, woo. Yeah. You know, you and I are actually agreeing on a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's, well, we both love the Stones. Well, and I mean, this is the meat and potatoes stuff for us.
You and I can look at the exact same thing, agree that it's great, but agree that it's great for completely different
exactly.
reasons.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I like about this is, of course, I know that you like the history and all the stuff. I just, that pumping rhythmic percussion that they've got going, and you just see.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some video of them recording
there's
with the maracas and stuff.
There's a documentary about the making of Beggar's
Banquet.
That's
right.
Called Sympathy.
I think it's called Sympathy for the Devil. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, I remember seeing that on videotape years and years ago.
Yep.
So, okay.
What time is it, Danny?
It is time for Haiku Corner, which means we're going to hear like at two to maybe, if we're really lucky, three different haikus.
Five.
Rich, I know that they call you Haiku Rich.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what they call
you. That's what they call
me. That's what they call you.
They see me coming down the street. They say, hey, here comes Haiku Rich.
Right. Now, it's Haiku Corner, not Haiku Pentagon. You have five.
Actually,
Corner
you know,
is like
you
two
know,
or three.
Yeah,
you know, it's
you
like
know,
a
you know, it's the Stones. It's the Haiku Pentagram.
Oh, wow, that was right after Sympathy. So is this show, are we conjuring up a voodoo ritual, satanic ritual right here?
We'll see.
Somebody's got to let me know these things.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared for this. Okay.
You ready?
Yes, go.
Five. And something of a narrative, somewhat.
Okay. So here's number one.
Somewhat. The leader is gone. I guess we're on our own now. You know what? Watch this.
Okay. That's nice setup. Okay. Numero two.
That guy's in the Stones? No, he's just way too pretty. But damn, he can play.
Mick Taylor was.
Mick Jagger has talked about it. He loved the fact that Mick Taylor was so good looking.
Yeah. Mick Taylor, I mean, dude.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. I'll give him that. Number three.
Play something dirty. Play it in the key of G. Exile on Main Street.
Oh, now you got me. That was good. Okay, number four.
Low vocals. Rough sound. What does heroin sound like? South of France nightmare.
Ooh, another exile thing. Okay, now, and rounding out the haiku pentagram...
I like to think of this one as a conversation between Mick and Keith.
Okay, so here we go, number five, watch out.
You and Bowie, huh? Oh, and Angela caught you? Better write a song.
Okay, you know. Yeah, and here's the thing, people. Rich did not have any haikus prior to, what, 15 minutes ago, 20
Probably
minutes ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Because I just sat here and I, like, did a bunch of doofy stuff around the studio while I was pacing and waiting, and then you come out and bang out five of these things.
It's, you know,
it's a gift.
It's something. You tap into it and it just comes to you.
So okay, yes.
All right, we want to thank our sponsor, Imminent Brewing. Laura
Most
Myers,
definitely.
Derek Myers, thank you both so much. Thank you for Imminent Brewing for making the weekly list a possible thing.
And we really do promise that we are not drinking during the recording of tonight's show. It is this sloppy and this messy because we're doing the exile.
Honest to God, I thought that was a... I swear to God, I wasn't really paying attention.
What?
I looked at the can. I thought that was a Montgomery Brewing peanut butter porter that you were drinking.
I have no idea what that is. I am drinking a Dr. Pepper, cream soda, zero sugar tonight. I keep it clean here.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do.
It's tough. I try to do ramshackle sober. So, you know, that's how, if I were drinking beer, then ramshackle just becomes wow.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Yeah. You know, so, anyway, okay.
Thank you, Imminent Brewing. We always start off by talking about the COVID situation. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed right now at Imminent, except that, you know, if you're not vaccinated, please, for everyone's sake, including your own,
stay home.
Well, yeah, wear a mask. I am fully vaccinated. I am wearing a mask when when I'm behind the bar, not because I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID-19, but because I'm afraid I'm going to give COVID-19 to somebody who is not vaccinated.
Mm.
I had a couple of friends this week test positive for COVID-19.
Okay.
Who were not I don't know.
Well, and here's the thing. If you are vaccinated, you can still come down with it. And I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I won't die of COVID, but I don't want any of the ancillary side effects that show up, that could show up in 5 or 10 years from now. I got this whole second act kind of worked out, and I really want to be around for like a minimum of 32 years. I got, you know, 40 I'd love to get. So
for the record,
yeah,
I cannot wait for that second act.
I know. Yeah. I'm still vibing on it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm living my life, man.
I know, man. So anyway, Imminent is there are no rules except that if you come to Imminent Brewing, you have to like have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like wander around with your beer. You have to sit and drink your beer somewhere. And if there's nowhere to sit, then you can't come over.
But your dogs can wander around.
But the dogs, dogs can't wander around. They have to be on a leash.
Well, okay. But I mean, wander around within the length of the leash.
Dogs can be inside. Dogs
see,
can
I
be
think
outside.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, you know, they take this stuff really seriously. I have great respect for the way Laura and Derek have handled their business all the way through the pandemic, and you know, now that we're in the little pandemic coda right now, I mean they're see now that I've remembered the word, I've got
isn't
it, I'm
going
to use it all the time.
Yeah, you will.
They're just be safe, be responsible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you ready for this?
Okay.
Dragon Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf Creek. ? Hill Wheat. Go for the Gosa, which is a German sour.
Sure.
And it's going to run out soon because, of course, the Olympics are over.
Oh.
Gateway Cream Ale. Pineapple Mountain Wheat.
That's actually really good.
It's really good.
It's
really good. Honey Basil Ale.
Okay.
Right, which we brought back last week. And now this week, Lil R&R. Raspberry Rhubarb. It was the very first specialty beer that we ever created, and it was wildly popular immediately. Like we sold out of it almost immediately, and we don't get it very often because you have to have both fresh raspberries and
rhubarb
and rhubarb, and raspberries have only come into season right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've got to try that.
Yeah,
I'm not a big rhubarb guy, and I did grow raspberries as a gig when I was a kid and stuff like that.
Cool.
But you know, hey, it sounds like an intriguing taste.
It's a really
I'd like to try
beer.
That. That's
a really good. Beer.
I'm all in.
Really good
I'm
beer.
All in.
And next week, man, the Oktoberfest is coming. They're going to have three best specialty beers on tap at the same time. It's going
to
be crazy.
Get to Imminent. Get to
exactly.
Give us what are the hours and what are the days, because you're going to probably want to be there every day, right?
We are open. Imminent Brewing is open 4 to 9 on Thursdays, 4 to 9 on Fridays, 2 to 9 on Saturdays when I work there,
mm-hmm.
and 2 to 7 on Sundays.
4 days of fun and froth.
As always, all the information you need can be found on their website at imminentbrewing.com.
Very nice. Right. Very nice. Fun, froth, and foam.
We were talking about Goat's Head Soup earlier, mm-hmm. and I said I thought it was kind of a gritty album.
It is gritty.
This is the gritty song
yes.
on a gritty album.
Yes, and this is one of my picks. The song is called Do, parentheses, Heartbreaker. To me, it's just Heartbreaker.
You ever see, there's a show, was a show on HBO called The Deuce.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I didn't get HBO. I'm not a Tony kind of.
Yeah.
I'm you know, you're from Edina.
That's true. Dude, you live in Eden Prairie. Well, just stand down, young man.
I live on the poor side of Eden Prairie.
I lived on the poor side of Edina. And I was not one of those people. However, I do get a piece of cake messengered to me every day, as is my birthright.
That is true. Yes, yeah, you yes, do. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
You don't. No. Anyway, The Deuce was really good. Well, not great, but a really good TV show about New York. The first season was set in like 1973, right around Times Square, when New York was just
dirtiest,
most disgusting.
Oh, it's not the Disney-fied version that's out there right now.
I mean, it was hookers and blow.
Yeah, you know? I've actually been to Times Square right before they cleaned it up and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
That's what this song sounds like.
That's what this song is really.
This is very much a New York song, and this is very much it captures the moment in time.
Yeah.
This song does.
And this was a song I just remember. I love how this song, not just. This has got a sound to it. It's got that groove, and it's
got that synclavier to open.
Yeah,
up
I mean, it's just, and it's a depressing song. This is not a happy song,
no,
at all.
Well, it's called Heartbreaker,
right?
And do the math.
Mick Jagger's voice on this is about as direct and as forceful as he's ever sung.
And I want to say this too, because I feel like I've ripped on Jagger an awful lot tonight. His vocal performance on Heartbreaker, which is on the same album as Angie, is letter perfect.
It's perfect.
It's
perfect. He's so direct. He's so insistent. He's so forceful in his pronunciation and his sense of phrasing. And then you've got Taylor and Richards, their guitars in the background. And then, you know, Charlie fuels the whole thing. And, you know, Bill Wyman also. I mean, this is, in my mind, Goat's Head Soup. I like the dirty, kind of messy stuff in rock and roll.
Yep.
And the whole album is like that. And this really is the epitome of this record, the entire record for
me. And it's got, I don't know if you'll follow me on this or not, but the production, the way it's produced, it feels like some of those Philly soul, like blaxploitation
songs
from that era. It's got a little Bobby Womack.
I hadn't really thought about it, but no, you're right. I mean, there's a soul to this.
Yeah, there is. Anyway.
It's grit and soul.
From 1973, Goat's Head Soup, this is Doo-Doo Heartbreaker on 95.1 KYMN.
They chased a boy right through the park in a case of mistaken identity. They put a bullet through his heart. Heartbreakers, we're too vulnerable. She died in the dirt of the alleyway. Mother said she had no chance, no chance. Yeah.
from Exile on Main Street. That was the Rolling Stones with the drunken sing-along that is Sweet Virginia. I mean, of course it's on. I don't need to tell you that it's on Exile on Main Street. All you have to hear is listen to it. There's no other album that could possibly be on.
I mean, it's the mixture of sloppiness.
Yeah.
And it's like on the verge of falling apart,
yeah.
But it doesn't.
It feels like that entire album, sometimes, it feels like that entire album was recorded at 4:22 in the morning.
I know, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, that's just a cacophony of beautiful disasters, the entire record. So you can understand why that album is like gold to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So now we get to, speaking of 4:22 in the morning.
Okay. Wow, man. How's it going? This is Wolfman Jack.
On an album that feels like it was recorded in the wee small hours.
And did you actually say 420?
420. I said 422. But
oh, 422. I'm just making a joke there.
Actually, that's
that was also
good.
Part of this,
yeah.
I'm sure.
This might be the sleepiest song on the whole album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let It Loose. Let It Loose.
It just got that groove, just that whole thing.
So from Exile on Main Street, this is still the Rolling Stones with Let It Loose.
Yeah.
A 95.1 KYMN.
Move that woman on. Dressed up to do your harm, and I'm here to watch you do. Give her just about a month or two. I'm living is easy to do. The things you wanted, I bought them for you.
Now, see, I'm the kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
if you really love me, right?
Yeah.
The words "wild horses could not drag me away" are like the nicest thing you could possibly say.
Oh, I know.
That's what that means to me.
Yeah, I love that song.
So, here's the story behind "Wild mm-hmm. Horses." This was one of yours, but
yeah,
so
it is.
You
tell the story though, because it's your guy.
Legend has it that that song was written by Keith Richards and Graham Parsons, although mm-hmm. it's credited to Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. Keith and Graham were hanging out together quite a bit. Graham was definitely influencing Keith's songwriting. It's just not a song that doesn't sound anything like what Jagger would have written, and actually has a lot. There's a lot of Graham feel in that song.
Oh.
The reason people think that Graham wrote, well, first of all, because he was just hanging out with Keith.
Right.
But the Flying Burrito Brothers actually recorded that song and released it before the Stones.
Yeah.
There's just no way that Mick Jagger would allow anyone to write, to record and release one of his songs before he did.
Right. And, you know, the lyrical sensibilities, I don't hear Mick Jagger that. I mean, Mick is a good lyricist, but I don't know that I hear that sense of, you know, that sense of
and it just,
him in this.
I mean, I, frankly, as a guy who has listened to a lot of Graham Parsons,
mm-hmm.
like it even, if you really dig into it, it actually kind of sounds like Mick is trying to sound like Graham on the vocals. On the vocals. Yeah. The kind of the growl, anyway.
Yeah. So I love that song. And that's just one of those, it's a heavy romantic sound, you know, and the melodic components of it.
Yeah.
That's what really hits me. I mean, of course, there's always the lyrics and, Wild Horses wouldn't tear me, But for me, it's the sound of this as well, and it works so well with the lyrics. It's a perfect balance of music and lyric.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
So,
we will ride them someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of the Weakless. Yeah, I know.
I've just been loving this show. Yeah,
this has been
a joy.
Great time with us. Next week's going to be kind of interesting, though, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so psyched for now.
We're biting off a great big something next week.
I don't know that we're going to. Well, we'll see where we go.
If we were smart.
Which we're not.
We've parceled out the Stones. We're going to parcel out the Beatles in different shows, too. We've already done an early Beatles, so we'll do a different era of the Beatles later.
Yeah.
If we were smart, we'd be doing the same thing with this next topic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just like album by album with this one.
Or just year by year.
Yeah, maybe that would actually be the better way to do it.
Because you're only talking.
We're teasing too much. Okay.
Yeah, we are.
If you like the show, you can find us on our, you can stream us off of our homepage, kymnradio.net, where we have all the old shows archived. You can podcast us by looking for the KYMN Radio Podcast on all of your favorite podcast platforms, including?
Pardon? Oh, Stitcher.
Thanks for participating. Or you can find us on what are you doing?
I was just planning a little sneak of next week's. I failed miserably. This is a delightful shambles.
Much like you, this has now become the Exile on Main Street of the weekly list.
It's hot in the studio tonight.
And
I will say that
studio.
It's really hot.
Yeah, it is. It was like 98 degrees today too. It was hot today. And or you can find us on Facebook under the weekly list, where I post each new song every Friday.
Each new show
every Friday.
See, it's not just me.
Yeah, no, it's not just you. And while you're on Facebook, go like KYMN, the KYMN 95.1, the one KYMN Facebook page, and go like Imminent Brewing in their Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be a good weekend at Imminent.
Oh, it's going to be
a great weekend.
Yeah, it is. R&R and Honey Basil. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, who are the food trucks again this?
It's tomorrow is El Jefe, which is just a classic. Wait, is El? No, sorry. Sorry, El Jefe is actually tonight. Sorry to tease you, folks. Friday and Sunday, it's the Sizzlin' Wagon.
Ah, Okay.
Which is known for their sandwiches and their burgers and stuff. No, no food truck yet on Saturday, but stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, come Friday night, find out. Maybe you find out then, and you get your Saturday plans.
Or, you know, just order, sit down and order a pizza. Because something I didn't mention about Honey Basil Ale, the finest pizza beer in history.
Really?
It pairs with pizza as well as anything you've ever had to drink ever.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So, Danny?
Yeah.
Let the good Lord shine a light on you.
Yeah, this seems like an appropriate way to kind of finish things up.
Make every song your favorite tune.
Yep.
Let the good Lord shine a light on you. Whoa, like the evening sun.
Wow. Yeah. This, again, also is one of my picks from Exile.
Yes.
That, first of all, you and I were talking about this before. There's a really good movie by Martin Scorsese called Shine a Light that's basically filming the Rolling Stones live in concert at the Apollo.
It's not even actually, it was at the Beacon.
Oh, was Beacon, it the Beacon?
Beacon Theater in New York.
Okay.
It was Scorsese filmed a concert that the Clintons, and I think they filmed it while the Clintons were, while Bill was still president.
Really?
The Clintons were in
that's right. You see them jamming. And there's some great guest vocalists on this. You got Buddy Guy in there.
Buddy Guy is the best moment in that.
That it was
entire
just blows me out of the water. Buddy was great.
Champagne and Reefer, so good. Christina Aguilera?
She was great.
That we were talking about this earlier. I don't think I was talking to you, though. I was talking with maybe when Laura Myers was in here. Christina Aguilera sings, I don't remember what song she does with the Stones, but I came out of that movie going, I want Christina Aguilera to make a blues album.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
I mean, she did that one kind of 1940s thing, which was actually really, that was a really good record.
Live With Me?
I think it might have been.
Anyway.
But, anyhow.
Jack White.
The entire movie was great. You and I saw that at the IMAX.
Yep.
When it came out back in the day. But so anyhow, Shine a Light seems to be a perfect way to end this show. It's the song that closes out the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've got the start of the album with Rocks On, and it goes all the way through this adventure over two albums of Exile, Main Street, and ends with Shine a Light and
two discs. Yeah,
two discs. Album. Yeah, two discs. Yeah. Four sides.
Four sides.
Four vinyl sides here of Sonic. Sludge, but beautiful disaster music.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. So from Exile on Main Street, this is the Rolling Stones with Shine a Light.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
So you stretched out in room 1009 with a smile on your face and a tear. Get a line on you, my sweet honey love. Above the two-way jangling down the street, thank you for your ride. Every woman that you meet,